Today, we want to preach the sermon titled, The Crazy Love of God. Okay, the crazy love of God. And we're talking about being rooted in God's love and what does that look like to receive God's love. Okay, we are living in the world today where Christians, believers, they're not receiving his love, they're rejecting his love. Where God is like, I want to bless you, I want to be with you, I want to walk alongside with you, but for whatever reason, it can be many reasons, we say, nah, God, I'm straight. I got it on my own. Okay? And we want to look at Luke chapter 15, verses 11 through 24, and just kind of look at the crazy love of God. And traditionally, we read that scripture. Have y'all heard of the prodigal son, the story? Okay, cool. So I'm not going to read. We're going to walk through the verses, but I'm not going to, like, read the verses, if that makes sense. Like, I'm about to, like, just start preaching. Okay? Okay. So when reading the Bible, it's really important to ask, what does the scripture say about God? What does the scripture say about me? And what decision should I make based off those two truths? Okay? What does the scripture say about God? What does the scripture say about me? And what decision should I make based off of those two truths? Okay? This is one of my favorite stories because it highlights the crazy love of God. And oftentimes, our focus is on the son who left home. Okay? In Luke chapter 15, we have a son who left home. And then we got another character who we're going to talk about next week, the son who stayed home. And he's probably worse than the son who left home, but he's always neglected and forgot about. Okay? So I love this because today our main focus is on the father who represents the crazy love of God. We always call this story the prodigal son. I like to call the story the loving father because that's what that's what the story is really about. All right? And oftentimes in life, we think the story of our life is about us as a prodigal children, the one who stayed or the one who left, the one who came back. But really, our life story is about the Father who loves us. All right? So we're going to look at this text. And there's seven things I really want to pull out of here that talks about the crazy love of God. Okay? Don't get afraid when I say seven. Okay, it's not going to be too long, but there is seven things I really want you to look at. And I wouldn't be a good preacher if I didn't tell you why Jesus is telling you this story. Okay, Jesus is telling us this story because of Luke chapter 15, verses 1 and 2. And it says, now all the tax collectors and sinners were coming near Jesus to listen to him. So when we talked about what does a perfect church look like, to me, the sign of a phenomenal church is when people who are not even connected to God is drawn to God and wants to listen to him. In verse, look, it says the tax collectors and sinners was coming near to Jesus. My question is, why is sinners not coming to church if Jesus is there? You know what I'm saying? Like Jesus attracts sinners. What is so attractive about Jesus that he drew people who are far from God? That's the question I'm trying to crack. I believe it's wrapped up in his love. Because in verse 2, now both Pharisees and scribes, these are religious folks. These are people who know the law. They know the Bible. They go to church, right? These are religious folks. The Pharisees and scribes began to complain, saying, this man receives sinners and eats with them. They was hating on Jesus because, like, hold on. You're eating with sinners? And you're saying you're a child of God? That's what they were saying. And now Jesus tells these parables. The one of the lost coin, the one of the lost sheep, which we have to get to another day, and then the one of the lost son, really the lost sons in a loving father. Okay? So the first thing, the crazy love of God listens without retaliation. All right? The crazy love of God listens without retaliation. Look at verse 11 and 12. It says, Jesus said, And he said, a man had two sons, verse 12. The younger of them said to the father, all right, that's important. The younger son had enough confidence, faith, that his father will listen to him. Remember, the father represents God. So, like, we can actually go to God and be like, God, I have a request. I got some things on my heart. I want to share something. And the father listened to the son without retaliation. Now, even though the son's request was mad disrespectful, look at it. He said, Father, give me the share of my estate that is coming to me. Essentially, the son was saying, I wish you were dead. Give me my inheritance now while you're living. The inheritance I'm supposed to receive when you die, I want it now as if you are dead because I'm disrespecting you. And the son actually, this was a bold and disrespectful request. And the key to understanding the Bible is that Jesus would live as a first century Jew, not a 21st century American person. All right. Because if we look at scripture with the lens of our American culture, we're going to miss it. Jesus is a first century Jew, and if we get the, too confused, we're really going to miss it. So the son request was disrespectful because he wished his father was dead. The son rejecting the father was rejecting his family, his identity, and his community. In this day and age, this is an unthinkable request. This is crazy. And the father still listened to him without retaliation. I don't know about you, but that kind of gives me a little, I want to ask, I ain't going to ask for my inheritance, but I want to ask for something ridiculously bold because God said, I'm willing to listen to you. All right? And God, I was talking to him yesterday, and I was talking to him about my finances, and God said, when have you really prayed to bless you financially? And I was thinking, I don't think I asked. What? I said, dang, my bad. Lord, bless me financially.
Yeah.
Like, no, I'm serious. I was really thinking, like, when have I really prayed for more money, for increase, like really intentionally about some other stuff I prayed for, and God was telling me, when have you prayed for something and I didn't give it to you? I really can't recall a prayer really not being answered that was in his will. So I want to encourage us, the crazy love of the Father invites us to come to him with ridiculous requests, and he won't retaliate. All right, here we go. The second thing, the crazy love of God grants the wild request. This is wild. So the son asks for something bold, something disrespectful, something awful. And the father actually, in verse 12, divided his wealth between the sons. He gave him what he asked for. Like think about that. My mom is here right now. If I'm like, Mom, I want everything you, like, right now. And she like, here, sure, that's crazy.
Yeah.
She ain't gonna do that. She ain't gonna do that. It doesn't even make sense. But God's love is, and it's not saying that she don't love me, but God's love is so far superior and so wild and so crazy and so big that he actually gave the son the wild request, even though he knows giving him the request might lead to his demise. He still gave it to him. Now, this father had plenty of options in this culture, okay? I want to read y'all the options. The father in this culture, he could have rejected and kicked the son out of the house. He had the right to, legally. Go, get out of here, okay? He also could have had him beat or punished for dishonoring him, okay? Now, this is what the father could have done. The father also could have cut the son off completely from the family and the community because his request brought shame to the family. The father also, according to Deuteronomy 21, 18 through 21, could have had the son stoned to death by the elders of the community. Where they would have took a mug or something glass and they would have threw it in front of the son's feet, and that thing would have burst saying, "You're no longer a part of us," and they would have stoned him to death. That's what the father could have did. But instead, this father gave him what he asked for. Isn't that amazing? Free will, y'all listen to this. Free will is the only thing that really lets God know that we belong to him and that we want him. So instead of forcing the son's hand, he said, "Here is your free will. Do what you will." And the father knows if he comes back, he's truly my son and he belongs to me. If he doesn't, I can't force him to love me. He got to go. And that's what God says to all of us. We have a choice to make. All right? Third thing, crazy love of God, let the son go. All right, in verse 13, "And not many days later, the younger son gathered everything together and went on a journey to a distant country, and he squandered his estate in wild living." The crazy love of God does not stop the son from going to a distant country. The father is a father of freedom and not force. Even though the son is going to a distant country, which is outside of the father's protection, outside of his provision, outside of his peace, guess what? The father allowed him to go anyway. Now, that different country is kind of deep because we live in two countries in the spiritual realm, or two kingdoms, either the kingdom of light with God or the kingdom of darkness with Satan. Remember, Jesus is telling a parable. So parables represent spiritual truths that are kind of hidden. Like, so he went to a different country. That means the son packed up from the father's country and went to another kingdom where he was broke, eating with pigs, famine hit the land, there's no provision, he's all tore up. And the father said, "If you want to go live over there in the kingdom of darkness, go for it. And I'm doing that because my love is crazy." All right? Okay. Fourthly, the crazy love of God waits and watches for the son. In verse 20, and notice, I'm skipping all the verses where it talks about the son wilding out and doing all that, because in this story, it really doesn't matter. What matters is the father's love for you. And we get so wrapped up in our stories and what we did wrong and what we're doing right and trying to walk on eggshells and be perfect for Jesus. And guess what? Jesus said, that really don't matter. Well, only thing that I care about, will you receive my love? We can figure out everything else, but if you don't receive my love, there's nothing you can do to please me anyway. So we're skipping all that. Verse 20 says, "So he set out and came to his father, but when he was a great long way off, his father saw him." How in the world does a father see him when he's in the distance? He has to be looking. My son coming home. I don't know when. I don't know what time. I don't know which angle he coming from, but he got to be coming home one day. And he saw him from a great distance, and the father loved his crazy. And he loved him so well that he expected his son to come home. Think about before the son left, how much and how many years the father had loved him over and over and over again. And that father knew that because I loved him so well, he got to come back home. And that's why I'm waiting and watching for him. All right. Now, people could have been talking about the father. This brought a lot of shame to the father. The father seems crazy at this point, but the father does not care about any of that. The only thing he cares about is his son coming home. That's it. And not only did he wait and watch, he ran to the son. The moment he sees the son coming, he took off running towards his son. Now, some Bible scholars say that that's like a shame because men in those days are not supposed to show your legs and all that. The father cared nothing about the rules. Only thing he cared about was getting to his son. He took off running to his son. And I just want to encourage, you might like feel like you're far away from God. You might not feel as close to God because you might not be doing everything right. You might not be saying everything right. You might not be thinking everything right. Your decisions might not always be right. But guess what? God cares nothing about it. He said, the moment you take a step towards me, I'm running towards you. All it takes is a decision to say, God, I'm through with this. I want to come back home. I want to be with you. And God said, say no less. I'm going to come get you. All right? Ain't that a beautiful thing that God come get us? All right? Even though it might look foolish, God, like, you know what? I'm coming to get my baby. All right? Now, this is my favorite part. He restores the son. Verse 21. The son made up in his mind, I'm going to say all these things. I got to confess my sin. Right? I got to make it right. So look at verse 21. And the son said to the father, he's like, I got to make my confession that I'm playing. Father, I've sinned against heaven and in your sight. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. And verse 22, but the father said to his slaves or servants, quickly, bring out the best robe. Whoa. The father didn't even acknowledge the son's confession. The father simply went into restoring his son. Meaning he didn't even care about you confessing your sin. Not saying that like, you shouldn't confess your sin, but in this text, he don't even care about none of that. The crazy love of the father goes right into restoring the son to his rightful position. All right, I love this. He restored him. He didn't even have to earn it back. And a lot of times when we mess up, we're trying to earn God's favor and his love through doing various things. We're trying to earn his love through showing up on time. We're trying to earn his love through not saying the bad thing out of our mouth. We're trying to earn his love by doing everything perfectly. I'm not saying we should not strive to live like Jesus, but what I am saying, if you're trying to obey God and follow God to earn his approval and his love, you got it backwards. God's saying, I just want to love you just who you are. And my love will change you from the inside out if you receive this. The only thing that can really change a human heart is love. That's it. Not works, not actions, it's love. All right, and that's why God, we have this thing called agape love, which means unconditional love. Unconditional means without conditions. God loves you without conditions. All right? That means you cannot do anything to earn his love. That got to get in your spirit. It got to. Because in our religious culture today, they might say that, but then demand enough or something else to earn his love. So that means God does not say, I'm going to love you if you change. Because if you change is a condition. So God is saying that now, if you receive my love, then you will change. Because my love is so powerful. It's so moving. It's so influential. It's so wooing that when you receive my love, you can't help but to change. And that's my argument. We have a love problem in the church. We have a love problem in the world. We have a love problem within ourselves. And my argument is, will you receive God's love? Because he restored him, like right here. He didn't wait for him to confess. He restored him by giving him everything he lost when he left to the distant country. He restored his position, not as a slave, but as a son. He didn't say you gotta work 6 months to get it all. He just restored. It's right here in verse number 22. But he said, quickly, bring out the best robe and put it on. put the ring on his finger with signs of authority, put sandals on his feet, bring a fattened pig or a calf and slaughter it, and let's eat and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and has come to life again. He was lost and had been found, and now they began a celebration. God throws a party for the lost son who comes back home. And I don't know, we could be lost in different areas of our lives. Okay? We could be lost in different phases of our lives. And all God is saying, will you come back home because how much I love you? You don't got to jump through hoops. You don't got to make all these changes. You don't got to do all these confessionals. God said, I just love you for you. And my love is so crazy, I'll restore you without you having to do anything. You think you're behind? God said, I will speed up the time and catch you up. I'll redeem the time. You think you're too late? God said, you're right on time because you came back home. Mm-hmm. So I want to encourage you, will you receive God's love? How do you receive his love? You have to believe, you're going to hear me say this over and over and over again. You have to believe what he says about you. And you have to accept that as truth. So you can't believe what he said about you if you don't know what he said about you. The father in the text, guess what? He said some words to his son. He said, this is my son, not a servant. The son has to believe that in order to receive it. He said, put a robe on him. The son had to put out his arms so the robe can go on his back and he can put it on. He said, put sandals on his feet. The son had to lift up his foot so he can receive the sandal. God has said some things about you. The question is, will you receive it and allow God to do it? Because oftentimes we say, I'm not good enough, God. I don't deserve the robe. God, I'm not good enough. I don't deserve the sandals. God, I'm not good enough. I haven't done enough good yet in my spiritual bank account for me to receive the ring and you put it on my finger. And God, like, now you're rejecting my love. Stop rejecting his love and receive it. And when you receive it, I promise you it's going to change your entire life. You're going to see the world differently because you receive it. And that's what Jesus did. He died on the cross for our sin. And he's saying, will you receive my sacrifice? Have you ever thought about that? Like that all of our sin is taken care of? That he's paid the price for it? Have you thought about Adam and Eve when they sinned? They brought a curse to the earth. But through the sacrifice of Jesus Christ, that curse has been broken and now restored. Like, that's wild. But oftentimes, as believers, we're walking around depressed, broken, and all toe up from the flow up because we haven't really received it. We haven't received the blood of Jesus. Romans 8:1, there's no condemnation for those in Christ Jesus, but yet we condemn ourselves with our own thoughts of unworthiness. I'm not good enough. I'm not smart enough. Read Romans 8:1. There's no condemnation. I used to get a lot of whoopings growing up. And my mama here, she'd tell you, she had a white belt. And we deserve most of them. And I used to get a lot of whoopings. And mom tell me, I never went to my mom. She's about to whoop me. I never went to her and said, Mom, please, please, don't whoop me. Give me your belt, and I'm going to whoop myself. Have I ever did that? Why do we do that with God, where God says, I'm going to let you off the hook, but you got a belt in your hand and you whooping yourself through your thoughts and through your mind. That's good. You're punishing yourself, and God said, I let you free. Why are you punishing yourself? Why are you thinking like that? I didn't tell you to think like that about yourself. I said you are beautiful. I said you are good. I said you are worthy. I said you are restored. I said you are whole. I said you are powerful. I said you are anointed. Where is these thoughts coming from? I said you are courageous. I said you are bold. What are you talking about? And everything you say that contradicts the word of God, you're rejecting his love, or you're condemning yourself and you're whooping yourself. You whoop yourself and call it Satan. And it's not Satan. It's you trying to whoop yourself. And you don't even know how hard to hit yourself. You don't even know how long to do it. So will you please, I beg you, receive his love. Stop, like we gonna work this stuff out of you, I promise you. But it's like, renew our minds. Negative thoughts come, it gotta go. Because now you're free to receive God's love. All right, y'all got any questions for me? We cool? We ready? If you're free, no, feel free. Like for real, because sometimes, and I'm gonna say this, I got so much in me, y'all. Sometimes what we do, we look in the mirror trying to become perfect in God's sight. And that, while we're looking in the mirror, we're missing our assignment who's out here. And we're so focused on walking the straight line where God says, when you stop looking in the mirror, you're forgiven, you're okay. Look around you, there's hurting people. And that's where this mission comes from. Receive God's love so we can give it away. But we can't even give it away if we don't first receive it because we're so busy looking in the mirror. Where God said, I've already taken care of all that. Will you receive my love and go help somebody else out who looking in the mirror, who hurt?
That's good.
All right? I can keep going and going. But yeah. I'm a chill out, you know what I'm saying? But I do appreciate y'all, and I want to encourage you to receive the crazy love of God. It does not make sense. You are going to mess up. I'm going to mess up. But what I want you to do is say, Lord, I know I messed up, but God, you said you love me. God, you said I'm forgiven. Like, I'm believing what God said about me, not what other people say, and not what I even think. God, you said I'm forgiven. I must be forgiven. I'm walking like it. You said I have power over this. I'm walking like it. God, you said I'm healed. I'm walking like it. And that's what we have to do, y'all, is receive his love. And if we can get more and more people to do that, we're going to change the world. We don't have to fight some Pharisees and scribes, but we're going to change the world. Because they're going to be complaining, but we don't care. We free. All right. All right. So, Father God, in Jesus' name, thank you so much for your love, Lord God, that surpasses all knowledge and understanding. God, I ask that as we leave this place, Lord God, you will saturate us with your presence, with your love, with your affirmation, knowing that we are deeply loved, we are deeply valued, we are deeply appreciated. And God, we thank you so much for loving us so much, to sending your only son into the world to live a perfect life on our behalf, to be crucified on our behalf, and to be resurrected on our behalf. God, we say thank you. We receive your son. We receive the Holy Spirit. We receive you, Father God, as our Father. And we put our trust in you and what you said about yourself, what you said about us, and what you said about other people. God, help us to continue to receive your love. And with that love we receive, we will love one another with, Lord God, and the world will know that we belong to you. So, Lord, we love you. We thank you for the safety and protection of every individual here. Lord God, we thank you for the prayer request that has went forth. And, Lord, we know that you will answer them, Lord God, in due season, and we trust that you will do exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think, according to the power that worketh in us, Lord God. And may there be continue to be glory in your church by Christ Jesus. In Jesus' name, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Before you leave, make sure you shake somebody's hand. Tell them you love them. It's good to see you. And, yeah, we'll see you next week. All right.